Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
The prosecution of more than 60 local members or associates of an international gang this year has shed light on how that gang and a rival gang operate. So far, 26 defendants have pleaded guilty to racketeering, drug trafficking, and weapons offenses, and the only defendant to go to trial has been convicted. But even the limited discussion of evidence has revealed the extreme violence gang members have employed in Chelsea, Everett, East Boston, Lynn, and Revere. WBUR's David Boeri, who traveled to El Salvador for a better look at this gang, MS-13, has been covering the prosecution of the gang and its rival gang here in Massachusetts. He joins us now. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Jack.
So, David, federal prosecutors here are treating the gang as an organized crime endeavor. What's the basis for these indictments?
Yeah, Mara Salvatrucha, MS-13, has been designated as a transnational criminal organization. It's the only gang that's been designated that by the Justice Department. They rule by violence, and their business is drug trafficking and extortion.
And to understand all of the violence, you have to understand the rivalry between MS-13 and another gang. Tell us a little bit about the 18th Street Gang.
Imagine two brothers born in the same place. In fact, that happened in East LA. They form a gang to protect themselves from Mexican gangs and black gangs, and then the brothers split and they become each other's worst enemy. As one former MS-13 gang member told the court here in Boston, Mara Salvatrucha kills its rivals, extorts people. And the central tenet of MS-13 is killing 18th Street members.
Who seems to be in the MS-13 gang?
Mostly young people, mostly from El Salvador, as well as Honduras and Guatemala. And most of them have entered the United States illegally, and the local cliques of MS-13 here target the newly arrived kids and the kids that are just coming into high school for recruitment. By the way, their arch enemies, 18th Street, are doing the same thing right in the schools. And once recruited, boys as young as 15 and 16 advance to full membership, and they do it in only one brutal way. Here's Peter Levitt. And before going into private practice, Levitt led the organized gang unit at the U.S. Attorney's Office that built this indictment.
Typically, to become a homeboy, a probationary member will have to participate in the murder of a rival gang member.
And after the gang leaders assign the mission to these probationary members, they'll spend months planning the murders. And then they'll commit that murder with machetes and knives that members pass around as they're killing the person in this ritualistic execution.
So all this violence, what is at stake for these gangs? Do they appear to be major players in the local drug trade?
No, they don't. And this is what's crazy, because these gangs are so constantly engaged in murder plots and murders and attempted murders of each other, they haven't taken control of the turf overs that they need for extortion and drug trafficking, which in a place like El Salvador is rampant. So in order to send money down to MS-13 leaders in El Salvador, the gang members here are working legitimate jobs in restaurants and landscaping, although they're illegal, but they're legitimate jobs that they're working.
David, you talked about how kids from El Salvador fleeing that violence end up here in Boston trying to find some semblance of safety. They get here, they find that MS-13 is here in Boston as well, or maybe in Texas, maybe in Washington. Is that what drives someone, a 15-year-old kid, to join this gang, to kill another 16-year-old who they may have never met, this desire just to be safe?
There is real tragedy amidst this outrageous violence, and you see it in El Salvador, that 12 and 13-year-old boys and girls have to make a decision. They join the gangs, or they're beaten down, murdered, or raped. And it is that dire. So you've had a flood of El Salvadorans, also Hondurans, Guatemalans. You've had a flood of them coming across the border in the last couple of years because parents have made a decision that as dangerous as it is, as costly as it is, to get a coyote, to put kids in harm's way on trains in the desert across hundreds of miles, it's better that they do that than stay in El Salvador. And so a rational decision is to put those kids into harm's way in order that they'll be safer in the north. Now, as it turns out, those kids arrive in East Boston, Chelsea, Revere, Lynn, and they face the same situation going into high school. They join or they're targets, one or the other. So many of them join out of necessity.
David, these cases you've been covering are the result of work done by federal authorities before Donald Trump became president, but the White House and U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions have taken a pretty big interest in this.
They've taken a great interest in this. You know, for President Trump, you couldn't come up with a better, more vicious group of illegal immigrants than MS-13. And this prosecution is the biggest prosecution in the country of MS-13. Meanwhile, there's another group of 66 gang members belonging to 18th Street who have also been charged in a separate RICO case with attempted murder, firearms violations, and drug trafficking. So they will take a parallel track of two brothers at war with each other.
WBUR's David Boeri talking about the indictments and many guilty pleas of MS-13 members in federal court in Boston. David, thanks for your reporting on this and much else in 2017.
You're welcome, Jack.